Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Choftes. We're holding the fifth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins with a Braisa Tana Rabbanan. And we're continuing today to talk about various machlois and various antidotes and remedies for those machlois, like we already began talking about yesterday. So, the Braisa Tana Rabbanan, Hamak is dam, a person who lets out blood. He goes to a bloodletter and he lets out blood. After that, lo yoichal, he should not add, he should not eat chagbash. What is chagbash? So the Gemara tells us chagbash is loy cholov, v'loy gvina, v'loy betzalim, v'loy shechlayim. Chagbash is Rosh Hashanah, cholov, gvina, betzalim, shechlayim. Cholov, of course, is milk, gvina is cheese, betzalim is onions, v'loy shechlayim is cress. These things should not be eaten after hakozes dam. Apparently, they just don't jive well with the digestive system after the person has lost some of his blood. It weakens the body, or you need more strength in the body to digest these items, whatever the reason is. Imoch, what happens if he did eat from these items, and therefore he's probably somewhat weakened, and now he wants to get back to his good health. Omer Rabbi, what should you do? Naisi revias of the challah, go and bring a revias of challah. Challah is essig, of vinegar. Revias of the chamra and revias of wine. Venerva vinu, bahadi adobi, and mix the two together. Venishti, and drink it. And that will give the person back his koiches. V'chi mefana, and afterwards, when the person has to go to the bathroom, loy mefana, ella lemizracha shel ir. When he goes to the bathroom, he should go to the mizrach side of the city. Remember, of course, in the good old days, they didn't have bathrooms in every single house, in every single place. You had to go to outhouses, meaning outside the outskirts of town. So when you were outside of the town, and a person had to go and defecate, he had to go to the bathroom. What happened was that subsequently, air, winds, drafts would go and take the scent or the stench and bring it to other places. So a person should rather be mefana on the mizrach shalir, on the eastern side of the city, mishum dekosher reicha, because the reich that is emitted as a result of going to the bathroom, having let out blood, and eaten or drank one of these things, the cholav, the gvina, the betzalim, and shechlayim, followed up by the two revias in of challah and chamra, that can be a pretty heavy stench. And says Rashi, rather be in the mizrach shalir, because the ruach mizrachis eina chazaka. The eastern wind is among the lesser of the winds, one of the weaker of the winds, and therefore they're not going to go and bring the stench to the city. Rather, presumably, it'll more or less scatter where the person used the bathroom, and therefore the outhouse, and therefore that reyach will not travel back to the city. Omer v'shimon levi, malin unkeli b'shabbos. You're allowed to go and try to help out the unkeli and bring it up. Pray to my unkeli, v'sais an unkeli. Omer Abba istamcha deliba. What exactly is istamcha deliba? Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat of the Rashi is that this is some sort of piece of flesh or membrane or valve on the heart that, if it's leaning in the wrong direction, it could impede a person's breathing. It could cause respiratory problems. So what do you do about this istamcha deliba? You have to make sure it's in the right place, and not that it's bent or tending towards the other direction. So how you mal it? You're not mal it physically, but you can go and take a remedy. My asusa, what is the remedy? Maisi kamuna kiruya. You go and bring kamuna. Kamuna means cumin, which is a type of spice, I believe. Kiruya, Rashi says kiruya means that it should be a handful. And kaf egroif, says Rashi, a fistful of cumin. Vininya, says Rashi, means mint. And then you take also agadna. Rashi says agadna is an asiv mar. This is a bitter herb. And Rashi says that lana, we have at the end of the Torah, Shoirish poira roish v'lana, that's referring to bitter herbs like morar. Says Rashi, lana is matargimin and gidin, which is similar to the word agadna. So this is something like a morar type of substance. And Rashi says the tzitri is shadria. I don't know what that is. Vavadata leliba. I'm sorry, vavadata. Avadata, says Rashi, is ezoiv. Ezoiv we have a few times in the Torah. In English they call it hyssop, some sort of grass vegetation. You take all of these ingredients, and what do? You mix them all together. What do you mix them together with? With a liquid. Which liquid do you mix them together with? Well, it depends. It depends what the issue is. Until now, we were talking about the malin unkeli b'shabbos, which had like the Gemara called it, istamcha d'liba. This is something that affects the heart. So, istamcha d'liba, if you're taking all these ingredients because of this istamcha d'liba issue, what do? You add a b'chamra. You add it together with wine. Presumably it means that you mix it with wine. V'simonech. For you to remember which liquid you use for a heart issue, the yayin yisamach levav enoish. Oh, so the yayin goes together with levav, and that will help out. Now what happens if instead you need these ingredients not for liba, but for rucha? What exactly is rucha? Rucha says Rashi is shachefes, shemachmas ruach yishte elu b'mayim. Shechefes, as you know, we have it in the Toichecha. Shechefes v'kadachas, talekes v'charchor v'cherev. Shechefes is usually something where the person's nebuch lying in bed and his coat, the skin, and and his whole constitution is withering, is nebuch falling to pieces. Anyway, so he needs to strengthen himself. So what should he do? He should take these ingredients and he should add them b'mayi with water. The simonech and the simon is for ruach issues. Elikim rechefes al pedeah moyim. Rucha goes together with mayim. Finally, the kuda. This is the kuda. Rashi says the kuda is talking about a woman who is in labor, a woman who's giving birth. Look at Rashi. The kuda choyli isha yoyledes umitztanenes ala mashber. She's there on the birthing stool, and she's waiting to go and give birth. She's in the middle of giving birth, and she is nebuch. She has chills, and she's cold, and she's sickly. What do? You take those ingredients and you mix them b'shichra together with beer. Simonach the simon is v'chado al shichma. So the chada goes like kuda. Those are the same letters, basically. And shichma, says Rashi, at least you have two letters of shichra. Shichra and shichma both have the same shin and chav. So therefore, that's the remez kada al shichma. Says Gemara, Rav Acha b'rei d'rova shochek v'hu l'kulu b'adi adodi. Rav Acha b'rei d'rova took all of those ingredients that we mentioned before of the cumin and the mint and the moror and the azoiv and the tzitri, and he mixed them all together. Shochek means to go and crush them. So he crushed them all together, b'adi adodi. B'shokalei, and how much did he take from all of these ingredients? Maloi chomesh etzba'osei, 5 fingers full. In other words, if he put his fingers into these ingredients and accumulated them, almost like a handful, and what did he do with them? And he mixed it presumably with the wine or with the water. I assume he didn't mix it together with the kuda, because the vachabrei d'rova would not have been in labor. So he mixed it with one of those two liquids, and the shasel, and he drank it, and presumably he had a refuah. Ravashi shokik kol chad v'chad v'chudei. Ravashi went and he crushed each one individually, not like Rav Acha b'rei d'rova shokik l'hula kulu b'adi adodi, but he crushed each one separately. B'shokel, and then he took maloi etzba'ei rabasi umaloi etzba'ei zutrasi. He went and took a pinch of each one of these different ingredients. How did he take the pinch? By taking his etzba rabasi, that's referring to the agudel, the thumb, together with etzbasi zutrasi, means with the pinky, with the smallest finger, and he put the two into the ingredients and he took a pinch of it. So just the opposite of Rav Acha b'rei d'rova, who took almost a handful, he took pinches of these various ingredients. Amar Papa, no abdi l'chol hani. Papa says, I tried out all of these remedies, shenish gegangen, it didn't work for me. We had something similar yesterday in the Gemara, until I met this Taya, this Arab merchant. I see Kuza Charata, and he told me, you know what you got to do? You got to go and bring a brand new Kuza. Kuza means like a small cup. Umal yamai, and fill it up with water. Veromi bay, and pour into it tarvada de duvsha. A tarvad is maloi kaf. That's a tablespoon, or perhaps even larger than that. Usually a tarvad means more like a ladle. So a very large spoonful of the duvsha of honey. The Tolila, not any honey. It's got to be honey. The Tolila Bekoichmi, that you go and leave outside under the stars, outside of the house, should be left there, apparently overnight. And Ulamach, on the next day, go and mix together, or this mixture that you've already mixed together that was under the kechavim, next day ishti, go and drink from it. Abdi hoche atake didavitzoy, Baruch Hashem, I had a tremendous afiyah, either for his problem with the liba or mitrucha, Baruch Hashem, egvon gizit.
Usually the
chazal
say not to leave
mashka. Because of gilui. So the Gemara doesn't address that. Perhaps it means that you put a small cloth on top of it. And when it comes to gilui, it's typically only if it's a pure liquid. When it's mixed with something else, it should be that this din of gilui doesn't apply. And maybe snakes don't like honey to start off with.
But honey was anyway outside. It came from the outside.
It's true.
Everything
that you said is accurate. Apparently what the Gemara is telling us is you fill up the water, fill up the cup with water, add the honey to it, mix it, then leave it outside under the kechavim overnight, you bring it in the next day, and then it's the best remedy possible. Tanu Rabban, we learned in the Braisa.
The water there, yeah.
Shisha, that's what was bothering Barry about the water overnight with the gilui.
Yeah.
So for that I said you put, let's say, a handkerchief on it, or it could be that because of the mixture, maybe it's not an issue. Tanu Rabban, stay in the Braisa. Shisha Dvar Merapid Mesachoyla Michol Yoy Rufuasa Rufua. The following six items, they are a great remedy, and their Rufua is a real good to Rufua. What are these six? Kruv is cabbage, tardin is beets, can't be beet, umesisin yevesha. Now, Rashi says umesisin yevesha, fully oil, yovesh, shoyer b'mayim v'shoyse. The article, I think, says something called pennyroyal. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but presumably it's some sort of spice. And it has got to be yevesha, it's got to be dry as opposed to moist. V'kevas, really should say l'chayr v'keva. Keva means one of the four stomachs that the animal has. V'heres, first I said, is Rashi Rach Moshel Behema, that's the womb of a female animal. The Yeseris HaKoveit, we have that often in the Torah, Yeseris HaKoveit, that's a small shtickle which is sticking out from the liver. As Rashi calls it the Tarpash. Tarpash usually means a membrane which is covering it on the side. And those are all great for refuah. The Yesh Omrim Avdogim Tanim Ultaklein Afishloch, presumably like sardines and the like. And even more than natural, dogmatanim are from a marvin called gufishal adam. Dogmatanim are also good for perivirivia, for the ganze kerp of the whole. I don't know if perivirivia necessarily means for reproduction, although we have the inyan of the dogim don't have in them an ayin hara, and therefore the yid guleroy the kerp aretz. Kondzain is referring to that. It could be just in general. It rejuvenates the person's body and his soul and his whole constitution, and he's much stronger and better. Etc. etc. Now those are the six good things. There are 10 things that if you eat them, chas v'shalom, it has the reverse effect and it causes the person to be more sick than before. Elohim, what are those? So many of them deal with meat. Oichel basar shor shuman. Doesn't the word shuman l'choy shouldn't be shuman, but should be shamein, which means that it's very, very fatty, very, very fatty meat. Or, and it's also basar shor, which means it's beef and fatty beef. That's high cholesterol, as we know. Basar tzli, or roasted meat. Basar tziparim, this is already fowl. Ubeya tzluya, a roasted egg. The shechlaim is cress. The tiglachas, and taking haircuts or shaves. Umerchet, and going to the base of merchet. Ugvina, or cheese. Vekaveit, and liver. Now, naturally, a regular person takes the tiglachas all the time, or he goes to the merchats all the time. Presumably, it's talking about that someone that was sick, and he's trying to get out of his sickness. If he is going to go, let's say, during the winter on a cold day, and he's going to go and get a tiglachas, he's going to go and get a haircut, the problem is that his head and the scalp and the face is all going to get very cold. That's not the right thing to do if the person is not feeling well in the first place. Umerchatz, or going into a hot shower, a hot bath, when the person is not 100% feeling well, you also got to be careful. We might have talked about that yesterday, about Bay Bunny taking a shower or a hot bath when the person is not 100%. And gvina presumably mean like hard cheese, which is hard to digest, or kaved liver, which is hard. Anyway, all of these things can have adverse effects on a person who's trying to get out of his choili and trying to get better and better. Yes, others say afgoizim, also various types of nuts. Afkishuin, kishum is from the gourd, pumpkin, cucumber family. Tana devera bishma, lamanikar shman kishum. Why do they have the name kishum? Amnishin kashu, the chalgubish alodim, kecharavais, because they are hard for the body, just like a cherev, like a sword. You'll notice next to the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel is a Zion. That Zion tells us, look back at Daf Yir Aleph, and back in Yir Aleph, the Gemara said, it depends on Kishuim Ravervi or Kishuim Zutri. Big Kishuim are taka bad, but small ones are okay. So I guess small Kirby's, that type of thing, is good for the body. Hard pumpkins, apparently, is not good for the body. Of course, as you know, many of these things may not be valid today, because all the Mefarshim say that they could be Nishtanu Hativim, that things have changed over the years, and our body constitutions may not be the same as they were years ago, so you don't know for sure that all of these things work or are adverse, as the Gemara said. And with this, we've concluded this whole sugya about the various foods and ingredients and remedies for various types of machlis. And now we get back to our Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah said that a person should be careful not to be mistaper, not to have a haircut from a pagan, from a goy. Says Rameir Bechomokim, anywhere and everywhere, don't get away from that. Stay away. It's an ishgit. Don't. However, the Chachamim in our Mishnah, it depends. Birshus Rabim, they said, it's okay. No, it's not okay. What's the concern about having a haircut from a goy? Because he has in his hands razors and very, very dangerous objects. If he doesn't like you, then chas v'sholom, he might go and slit the person's throat, rachmono litzlan. So, zugni chacham, if it's b'shus harabim, you don't have to worry about it. People are passing by and he's scared, he's nervous. However, if it's beinoy lebeinoy, you have to talk and be concerned. And Ramey says, I'm concerned any time and everywhere, doesn't make a difference. Presumably, the mayor holds that the person can accidentally, the knife, or accidentally on purpose, he's going to move the tar, the razor, from the person's scalp to the person's neck, and it could be chas v'sholom fatal.
This is not brought down in halacha, I don't think, but there's people that have this hakbada. I've heard people who
we'll pray. Talk about it shortly. I brought along a Shulchan Aruch. We'll see what it says. We're going to see.
Say this.
Yeah. Baltimore saying. It's Tanur Banan. Let's see what it says in the Brisa. So the Brisa expands and expounds on what we learned in the Mishnah. Look at the Brisa. Yisrael amistapim yoyvi kuchom. A Yid who took a haircut from a goy, who wants to take a haircut from a goy, roye b'mara. He has to make sure that there is a mirror present. There's got to be a mirror there. Now, so what's the big chiddush? What's the? If you look at the long toises here on the side, it's not so simple. What is the shaila? So toises brings here the third toises from the Yerushalmi. You could skip a few lines until the line that says, you see where it says venira, which is about 10 lines in. But right before that, the line before toises in Medayik from the Yerushalmi and from other places, mashma she'osur liish lirois bemara. It's prohibited for a man to look in a mirror. The nira kihatam, you know the reason is mishum lo yilbash geber simlas isha de metargam lo yisakin geber betikuna itza. Meaning, not only a person shouldn't wear dresses simlas isha, but the targum is a person should not try to perfect himself, misakin himself, betikuna itza, the same way that women are misakin themselves, in other words, with cosmetics and makeups and all the rest, and to be able to effectively put on the cosmetics and the makeup, they have to be able to look in a mirror. Because if they don't look in the mirror, they might put the eye ointment on the cheek, or on the chin, and some rouge on top of their nose or something. So they have to be able to look in the mirror. So therefore, a person should not look in a mirror, Zoktach Teis. A man should not look in a mirror, says Toises, because he's over on the Isser of Lilbash Geber Simlas Isha.
Is it Pikuach Nefesh? Is it Pikuach Nefesh where you're looking?
Therefore, what is Toises telling us? And of course, you have the whole long Toises to go through. That's the Chiddush of our Brisa. A man normally is not supposed to look in a mara. Why? Because of Liyubesh Kevesim Lazisha. However, if it's in a situation of potential bikuach nefesh, says Agmar, then he's allowed to roye b'mara. That's an exception to the rule. That's what Tosis says. The Ran Grad in the back of the Gemara brings the same Yerushalmi, etc., and he says it really depends on the minig hamokim. In those makoimis that men do not look in mirrors, they shouldn't look in mirrors. Vayilbash. In those places where men do look in mirrors, okay, so that was the minig, and therefore you don't have to, it's no longer minig of simlas isha, because it's universal. All men and all women look in mirrors, so it's no longer an issue. As they look around, I'm sorry.
I have a point of law to determine the attitude.
Exactly.
Knows,
what's the reason why he's looking in the mirror? Whether he's looking in the mirror for purposes, Rashi says, because of the Tosis says, because of the haircut, or because of the shave, or he wants to make sure that he has a problem with his eyes, with his nose, with this, with that. In other words, Tosis says, obviously, if a person has a problem with his eyes, and he wants to put on eye ointment, and he wants to look in the mirror to make sure he puts the ointment in the right place, that's okay. And that's what Tosis adds, like Remendel is telling us, Boichin li boi suya dea, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows why you're looking in the mirror. That's why you have...
Shorosh is not straight.
Oh. Some people, when they're looking in the mirrors to see whether they're Shorosh, question is, are they looking at the Shorosh, or do they want to make sure that their chup is combed in the right direction, or any other things that they're looking at. Okay, anyway. Azizok the Tosis, and Azizok the Ran. We're going to get back to that shortly, but just let's continue in the braisa. Ba'oyv kechovah mistapim meYisrael, and a goy that's taking a haircut from a yid. Now, what's the problem with that? Oh, the problem is kimishigil lebloirisai. A goy has a bloiris. A bloiris means, today we say a bloiris means a chup, but in the times of Chazal, a bloiris meant more like a ponytail that they had hair coming out from the back. And we learned in previous gemaras that they used to only cut it or shave it once a year, so this was fairly substantial. Now, the reason why they made this bloitus was l'shem avoid zara. If the yid is the barber, he shouldn't get close to that bloitus. Why shouldn't he? Because he will then be mesak, and he'll be helping out the bloitus, which itself is some form of avoida for the avoida zara. So shem desiyadai, stay away from the place. How far away? The Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines. Three etzbois, three finger widths, presumably, away from the blighters, he should go and stop cutting. So he shouldn't help in the tikkun of the place. Amma, Yisrael mistap me become rei b'mara. He's allowed to look in the mirror. Sfeiti ma'echi tami. What's the situation? If you're talking about that it's out in the street, like you have barbershops, that people pass by and they can look in, so what do you need a mirror for? Because the whole chashash is that maybe this goy is chas v'shalom going to kill the yid in the middle of the haircut. If people are passing by, then everybody sees it. What do you need a mirror for? Elamai b'rishus yochid, it's in a private house or a private place where nobody's passing by. Kiroi mayhava, so he has the mirror. He'll be able to witness his own death, chas v'shalom, when the barber is going to go and slit his throat. So what does it help that he's going to have the mirror? And the purpose of the mirror is not to see what the barber is doing, but rather the kimen de ikamara nischaze ki odom choshuv, meaning that the average man in the good old days in the times of Chazal was not so makpid that everything has to be exactly pink flech. And this fits in very well with the toisis, because that you have to look exactly attractive and exactly or zoe perfect, that was more a women's concern than a man's concern. So why is this man being so definitive and saying to the barber, I have to have a mirror. Either I'm going to bring one from home, or you have to bring one, take it out of your drawer, but I have to have a mirror. So then automatically the barber says to himself, oh, this must be a minister, a chush of a mensch, because most of my clients, most of my customers could care less. Your mirror, nish mirror, so it's a little bit... Like I cut it a little bit higher, a little bit lower. Who cares? There's an afkimina. Mizan adam choshev, adam choshev. That means that they're going to be looking for him. If chulin v'vachas, he gets killed. So I got to be noivis. I got to stay away. The Gemara tells the story of Chana bar Bizna, having mistaper me'oyv kachov. He himself was taking a haircut from a goy. B'shvili de ne'erdo. So Rashi, shvili ne'erdo means not in the center of ne'erdo, but rather this was a street or a path that leads to Nerdo, which is going to be very important, as you'll see in the story in the Gemara. Rashi says, "Mishvil din hado chutz le'ir." This was a road, a street, a highway that leads to Ne'edo, but was still chutz le'ir, was not in Ne'edo proper. And guess what happened? Said now the barber to him, this was now in the barber shop. So the barber says now to Rab Chuna, "Chuna, Chuna, yoy ku'echa lezuga, your neck." The word ku'ech, says Rashi, means tzavrech, or tzavrecha, that means your neck. Yoi appeals lezuga to the Parshup Shazuga, means a scissors, but the bottom of the toisis, this long toisis, says that we're talking about bitar, we're talking about it with a razor. Why? Because a razor is much more dangerous, explains toisis, than a scissors. And therefore, what the Goyisha barber was saying to Rav Chuna, you're in my hands, and if I wanted to, this razor and this, your throat, would make a perfect match. Matzah minus minoi would be a match made in heaven. Therefore, he was telling him, I could chas v'sholom kill you. As Omar, Sir Rav Chunin, then said, Taisili, I deserve it, the Avrad Rameh, because I was violating the words of Rameh, because Rameh said, Ein mistapim mehen b'chol mokoy. You're not supposed to go and take a non-Jewish barber anyway. Frank Mavar, the Yavar. The Chayyus Oivan the Rabbanan also, because the Rabbanan our Mishnah only permitted haircuts from a barber, from a Goyish barber, if it's Bishus Adavim. Anyway, the Rabbanan Bishus Adavim, Bishus Yochan Miyomor. And this Shvila de Nedo was not in the middle of Broadway. This was, Rashi said, Chutz Le'ir. It's a Bazaif like Bishus Yochan, not like Bishus Adavim. And if that's the case, you're Oivan even on the Rabbanan. Every more Bahusa of Rabbanan said, Nah, this is Nishkifel. Shvila de Nedo, even though it's Chutz Le'ir. Apparently there was a lot of traffic going to and from Ne'edo, so even though it wasn't within the city limits, it was on the road towards Ne'edo, but there's so many cars passing by, caravans, horses, donkeys, people, so he felt that that was Kirshus Ram Dhamu. So Al Tzrabanan, he was not over, but Al Tzrameir, he was over, because the mayor said, Osel Estaper Bechol Mokhan. So, you hear Reb Elia asked us before, what's the halacha lemaisa on this? So, I just happen to have with me trusty Yeridaya. And in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, Joti Mechaber, Ein Mistapen Me'oivet Kechavim, El B'mokim Shemetsuyen B'nei Adam. You have to make sure that there are people around. In other words, like Rosh Hashanah. Otherwise, Ein Mistapen. Oy, im oisi ayvik chav medame, or if this guy believes she oisi Yisrael who adam choshev, he believes that this person is a choshev a mensch. That's the reason why he took the matter, and then the guy will be afraid. Adam choshev, they're going to come looking for him, and they're going to go and lock up this guy for killing him. As they took the machaber. Zok the Ramah v'yesh machmirim shloy destapim yevik chom afilu b'makoy merabim b'ta'ar emloy shiyir b'mar. There are those that are machmir, says Ramah, not to take any hirka from any guy, even when people are passing by in the street, if he's doing it with a tar, with a razor. Emloy shiyir b'mar, unless there happens to be a mara, a mirror there. The noig like the first day, the first day it was, that as long as there are people passing by in the Shusarabim, that's enough. So you're telling me that there are those that are makbid not to take from a goy? According to the Ramah, number one, it's got to be that he's shaving, not shaving the person, he's giving him a haircut with a tar, with a razor, as opposed to a misparayim, as opposed to a scissors. Where Toysi said that misparayim loy shchiach b'hu azeka, the last three lines of this langa Toysi, the difference between a tar and between a scissors. And number two, even the Ramah that says yesh machmirim, if there is no mirror. If there's a mirror, then it's okay, you're allowed to take it. But now let's go to the second halacha here in Shulchan Aruch. Also, the ishli stakel b'mara, zok the mechaber, a man is not allowed to look in a mirror. Mishum la yilbash geber simlas isha. Elim kein mishum refuah. If he's doing it for refuah purposes, keep going. Shechoshish b'einav. He's got a problem with his eyes. Or Yushim is Aparatzmoy, or he is giving himself a haircut, he has to be able to see what he's cutting. He doesn't want to cut off his ear chashasholim. Oyim mistafim and oyim gechavim, beinoy le beinoy, or if he's taking a haircut in front of a goy, and it's in a private place. Then you're allowed to go and look at a matter for one of these purposes. Azeizok, the machaber, just like the Toisis that said that there's an iser of liyubash keder. Says the Ramah, the Eishaimrim, Hodi Os Liris Bamara and Adafki Bimokoin, the Ein Derech Liris Bamara Raknoshim, that stuff in those places where only women were accustomed to using mirrors. This Bamimishum Liyubash Kevin. Abamokim Shaderech Wanoshim Lirois, Kamkim Mara Mutter. In those places where they're not Makmid, then you are allowed, the men are allowed to look in a Mara. Then there's certainly no problem. Anyway, so bottom line is that's why in certain places they had a tremendous akpada. For instance, in places where the chassidim used to live, and today many people are makbid not to have mirrors for this reason because of leilu bashkever. But mokshu shederach anoshim lirois, those places where it was common and was customary for all men and all women to look into mirrors, then it's mut and then it's okay. And this is the run that we're talking about in our park. Anyway. Okay.
What about the hospital? We need to have pictures, of family pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't have to, so mean that you have to go and pretty yourself in advance before
right,
the picture.
Right. You see,
good.
Otherwise, your wife gets angry at you.
Exactly. Anyway. And we continue on. Zok, the Gemara Beit, fourth of the wide lines. The Oyvik Chom Mestafer, Mi Yisrael, Kim Shigil Ablirisai, Shemin Es Yodai. When the Jewish barber is getting close to the Bloiris, stay away. How much do you stay away? The Kama Umre Malkiyah, with a hay. Umre Vada Barahava, Shloishet, Spoiz, Chol Ruach, Veruach, three finger widths to each direction. I assume it's not three finger lengths, because that would be far, far removed from the bloiris, and then nobody would come and get a haircut from you. So presuming it's three finger widths, which is, I guess, an inch and a half or something like that, and then you would not be accused of improving on the bloiris of this guy. Now, as you know, whenever we have this Rav Malkiyah, Mara brings in six different memories about Rav Malkiyah and Rav Malkiyah. Ramalkiyoi said three, Ramalkiyoi said three, and we have to remember who said what. As Umrav Chanina Bered Ravika, Shpud, Shvachis Vigumais was Ramalkiyoi with a vav. Bloidis Efer Maklev Ugvina Ramalkiyoi with a hey. Now what are these six? We'll just go through them quickly. Shpud is halacha in Mesechtes, I think Mesechtes Beyer, Mesechtes Moed Katan, where the Gemara talks about things which are usher on Yontif, and it says over there that if a person went and he used a spit to go and roast, for instance, a chicken or roast beef or whatever, and after they finish roasting, they took the meat off of the spit, and the spit, of course, is full of schmaltz, full of oil and grease. Then the halacha is that it's mukta. You cannot go even touch the spit. You just gotta kind of let it fall to the ground or fall on the table, wherever it falls, and don't have anything to do with it because it's mukta machmas mius. However, one of the Madi Yomrim said sidonaitza, and that is you can move it kilachar yad. In other words, it doesn't have to be smack in the middle of your kitchen or the dining room. You can go and kind of give it a kick with the back of the foot and push it to the corner, type of thing. Ah. So said Ram Malkiyah, we take a paskin like that. Shmud, yes, you can go kalachiyad muft. That was a memra of Amiroim as opposed to a Mishnah or a Braisa. Shvachois is going on a Mishnah, Mesachtes Ksubas, where it says that if a person gets married to a wife, the wife has to go and give certain basic functions on behalf of the husband, such as she has to cook and she has to sew and she has to do laundry, certain basic things that she has to do for her husband. However, the Mishnah says, what happens if she brings in one shivcha, then she doesn't have to do X. And if she brings in two shvachas, she doesn't have to do Y. If she brings in four shvachas, she can basically sit at home and read the papers all day. However, Zotar Chirblazer, Chulil Vachas, even if she brings 100 shvachas, she should still do certain basic functions, basic avoidance for her husband. Otherwise, because batala may be lidei shimum or may be lidei zima. If a person is totally bottle and does nothing. He has no requirements, no occupation, no obligations whatsoever. That could bring chas v'shalom to deishim, and the person could become insane, berserk, or zima chas v'shalom. It could lead the person to do bad acts. Anyway, again, that's Reb Elezer. Says Reb Malkiyoy, we pass him like the Reb Elezer from the Mishnah.
What does Reb Malkiyoy say here?
Reb Malkiyoy says we pass him like that. We paskin like that, that even if you bring 100 shvachos, the woman still has to do certain basic acts and functions on behalf of her husband. The gumais is referring to a memra in Mesechtas Nida, where it says over there, as we know, that for a boy or for a girl to be deemed a gadol or a gdoila, they have to have shtei saris. What happens if we're bodek and we find there are no saris, but there are two holds, two pores, two follicles? Then the halacha is, we deem them as if they were hair, because we assume that the hair was there, and the hair fell out for whatever reason, and therefore we say that the boy or girl are gadol or gidoyla. Ah, that's again, Reb Malkiyoy says, we paskin like that, even though that was a memra, not a mishnah.
So, shvachos, you said, was a...
Sorry?
Shvachos, you said, was
a mishnah.
Was right. Did he say...
Reb Elezer in the mishnah.
So why are we saying it's a memra now? Why isn't that a...
There are three halachas over here. Shvud,
right.
Shvachos, and gumais. Shvud and gumais were both memras of Amiroyim.
Okay.
The Reb Malkiyoy said, we paskin like these two memras. Shvachos was a Mishnah Mesechtes Ksubos, where Reb Malkiyoy says we pass them like Reb Elezer in the Mishnah. Why am I focusing on Memris or on Mishnah? You'll see in a moment. That's Reb Malkiyoy. Now we come to Reb Malkiyoy. Bloiris, that's our Gemara over here. That was a Braisa, remember, that we brought, that says that a Yid, that is the barber for a Goy, make sure to stay away from the Bloiris. And about that Braisa, the Gemara said, what is the shear? Said Reb Malkiyoy, the shear is 3 etzboits. It's going on a Braisa. Eifer Makla is a Gemara that we had back in Sechta Malkis, where it says over there, that if a person has a maka al psora, he has some sort of wound, and he doesn't have iodine or mercurochrome, what he can do is theoretically put on afer makla, which means hot ash, and that presumably is going to go and kill any infections and any germs and all the rest. Oh, but the Gemara Maseches Malkus says, lo yiten odem afer makla, don't put it on. You know why? Because afterwards it looks like seidus kaka. It looks like the person did a tattoo, that it makes an incision in the flesh, and you see whatever design, what have you. We don't pass it like that. Abazoyat Ramalkiyah says, yo, you're now going to go and put Eifer Makla in a wound, because it looks like Xavis Kaka. This, by the way, this was a memra, this was not a Mishnah or a Braisa. And finally, Gvina. What is this Gvina? Mitch, we're going to have another couple of days. We're going to learn about, in the Mishnah and the Braisa, that a person is not allowed to eat Gvinas Akum. Gvina, of course, is cheese. Why can't you go and eat cheese? The Gemara is going to give a number of reasons. But the reason that Reb Malkiyoy likes is because Machlikin Ponea B'Shumen Chazir. What they used to do after they went and manufactured the cheese, they used to smear it on the top with shumen chazer, with lard, with some other fats of a chazer, of a pig, of pork, of bacon, etc. Aha. So therefore, Reb Malkiyoy says, yeah, that's the reason, don't buy the Gvinas Akum. So now, this Reb Malkiyoy, the first of the three members, Bloiris, was a Braisa. Gvina is also Mishnah or Braisa. Eifer Makla was a Memra. And Reb Malkiyoy says that we paskin like these three. Azei zoktach Rav Chanina b'reid Rav Ikka, shpud shvachas gumais Rav Malkiyoy, bloy yusei v'maklik v'inez Rav Malkiyoy. Amra papa! I disagree. Masnisa no masnisa, anything that has to do with a Mishnah or a Braisa, that was Rav Malkiyoy, with a hay. Shmaitz, if it's a shmaitz, a memra of the Amiroyim, that was Rav Malkiyoy. Vesimna, how do I remember according to Rapapa? Masnisa Malkisa. A Mishnah or a Braisa is like the Malk is like the queen. And Ramalkiyah is the name is also like a queen. Malka with a yud there in the middle, as opposed to Malkoi, which sounds like a melech, a male. Malkiyah sounds more like the Malka. So this is the easy way, an easy mnemonic to remember. Mishnayis and Braises, that is Ramalkiyah, not Malkiyoy. What's now the practical distinction between Rav Papa and Rav Chanina b'reid Rav Ikka? Because as we said before, when Rav Malkiyoy was mentioning these three halachos, we're listing these three halachos, Shbud and Gumois were both Shmaitza. They were both members of Amiroi. So that everybody agrees. That's a Malkioi. That's not a Malka. That's not a Brisa. That's just a Memra. Ramalkia. The Shvachis, however, that goes in the Mishnah of Lezer in the Mishnah Mesachtis Ksubin. So that doesn't belong in Ramalkioi's list, according to Rapapa. That goes to Ramalkioi's list, because anything having to do with Brisa and Mishnah is by Ramalkioi, not by Ramalkioi. And Rashi points out that therefore we should say the same thing in the Gemara, the Gabi the Ephraim Makla, because Ephraim Makla, that's also just a Shmaitza of Amiroim in Mesechtes Malkis, that's not a Mishnah and not a Braisa. So the Gemara should say that that's also an Afgimina, schlep out Ephraim Makla, extract it from Malkiyah, and put that by Rav Malkiyoy. So Rashi says, Einochanami, we could have said that. The reason why the Gemara only says Shvachos is because we're focusing on what did Rav Malkiyah say. That's what Rav Pop is trying to tell us, the Maslisa Malkisa. That's the important, we're trying to establish what did Rav Malkiyah say. Oh, we left out Shvachos. Put Shvachos in Rav Malkiyah's list. Don't take it away from Malkiyah, because anything you have to do with Mishnah Braisa does is Rav Malkiyah. Therefore, the Gemara is not too concerned about that Rav Malkiyoi is missing his Eifa Makla. I just want to make sure that Rav Malkiyoi's list is totally inclusive of all Mishnas and Braises, even though it includes Eifa Makla, which really doesn't belong. Azazot Rashi, elsewhere Rashi or the Ran go and on the same Gemara, because this Gemara is brought a few times. After all, there are three Malkiyois, Rav Malkiyois and three Rav Malkiyois. This is brought several times in Shas. Elsewhere, Rashi says that although the Gemara says Ikim and I Shvachos, it means Shvachos and its Chaver, the corresponding one. Just like Shvachos is the middle one of the Shvud, Shvachos, and Gumais, Eifa Makla is the middle one by the Bloiders, Eifa Makla and Gvina. So what the Gemara is telling us, it was the both middle ones, that's the middle child syndrome, both of them, they have to come out of their places and make the switch. You put Eifa Makla into Rav Malkiyoh's list, and you take the Shvachos and you put it in Rav Malkiyoh's list. Okay, Zayigit, Sokhti Mishnah, Chav Tesam Adbeis. A nice long Mishnah, and there's going to be a lot of Gemara about it. Zokta Mishnah. The following things you're not allowed to go and take or use from a goy. You're not allowed to go and take yayin and choymit. Now, the yayin that we're talking about in our Mishnah specifically is about yayin nesach. We're not talking in our Mishnah about stam yayinam. That mitzvah we're going to have later on. That's more because of fraternization, that it might come to a problem of bitoy, that you, Chas v'Shalom, you might assimilate with a goy. Here we're just talking about yayin nesach that was used by a goy for, or that I have to be choishish, that the goy used it for avodah zarah. That's yayin. What's choymitz? Choymitz, of course, is vinegar, but here we're talking about vinegar that stems originally from wine, and that it belonged to the goy when it was originally wine, and then the goy left it too long. Apparently he had no customers for it, and now it's turned from yayin to choymitz. It's gotten acidy, and therefore it's gotten vinegary. Then you're not allowed to buy that vinegar either, because tchilasa yayin, because 3 months ago he might have used it for nisacha yayin. Therefore, you can't buy from a goy either wine or even vinegar that was originally wine in the hands of the goy. The cheres hadrayoni, or hadrayoni. The word hadrayoni of it is referring to one of the kaisers called Hadrian, and but that's not the point of our Mishnah. In the times of Hadrian, when people wanted to transport wine or grape juice and stuff like that, instead of having powder like we have today, that you add powder to water and you try to reconstitute like a Kool-Aid type of thing, or you have concentrate, which afterwards you add water to it and you want to now rejuvenate it and make a ganze juice out of it, what they used to do is they would go and take cheres, immerse it into wine, allow that earthenware cheres to go and absorb from the wine, and then they would go and put it aside, or they would travel with it. And now when the person wants to have a wine type of drink, they would take that cheres and now soak it in water. The water would get the absorptions, the bliois of the wine out. Ah, I'm a chai. Zokta in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to go and take that from a goy, because I'm afraid that the original cheres B'liyos of wine were from Yayin Esach. And the same thing applies to Oyros Levuvin. Oyros Levuvin shows the cruelty of the Goyim. If you look at the first of the narrow lines, Oyros Levuvin, Shekoyrin Keneged Alev. What the Goyim used to do was that they would go and extract the heart from the animal. Says Rashi, Darkin Lasses came Lavoyus Kachom, Moitzidus Alev Derech HaNekev. They would go and pull out the lathe, they would first make a hole in the skin of the animal, go and extract the heart. These are heartless people. Umitzer mishem zivchei mesim. This is also because it's a form of avodah zara, meaning this is the way they would serve the avodah zara, by extracting the heart. And now the goy wants to go and sell you the oir of this animal. You cannot buy the oir, even though the oir was not used for avodah zara. But that's all part of a leyid bak biyodcha mu'uma menachem. Anything having to do with avodah zara, it's osir bana. Stay away from it. Oir is lavuv. Whether they are or not, but they're certainly the tzuva on avodah zara.
I understand that, mm-hmm. But it just came since you said that. They weren't nice.
I understand. Anyway, Reb Shimon Gamliel, what did they do to Yidin Nebuch? Reb Shimon Gamliel, Bizman Shakera Shaloi Ogul is Osir, Moshuch is Mutter. So Reb Shimon Gamliel said, I of course agree with the Tanakhama said about the Oris Levuvin. However, you have to inspect and see what is that hole there, Kneged Alev. Is it round? Then that means they used it for extracting the heart. However, it's Moshuch, that means that they did some sort of surgery or something else with this. With this animal, having nothing to do with this heartless type of avodah zara, and therefore that it would be mutter. Nushnik, baser nichlas avodah zichav mutter, baser that went into a base avodah zichav, presumably into a church or a similar edifice. If the baser went in, it's mutter. Vayoytze, however, something that comes out is aser neishuk kizif chaymeisim. Now let me ask you: if the baser came into the base of avodah zara, how did you get it out? By taking it out. No, once you take it out, then it's osur. We're not suggesting the person, if he wants to eat that basur, he should go into the base of avodah zara and eat it there. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So what does this mean, that the basur is lo yachav is mutter? So notice here in the Rashi, there is no Rashi. However, next to the basur nichlas, there is an aleph. And the aleph tells us, I am pirushash, and come on, lamed beis, lamed beis. So let's take a quick look, lamed beis, lamed beis, where Rashi explains it very nicely. Rashi tells us that the basur never went in. See, Rashi is about 10 lines from the top of the Omid on Lamed Beis, Omid Beis. Lev, right? Baruch Shem, our Lev is here. Bosa Nichlas Amoydus Kechavim. Zot Rashi. She'oivik Kechavim Roitze Lach Nisoy. It didn't ever get into the church. He was trying to bring it in. 8 lines from the top of the Omid. Lamed Beis, Omid Beis. You have it, doctor? Yeah. Dr. Goldfarb?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem. She'oivik Kechavim Roitze Lach Nisoy. Mutu Bano Im Nizar Yisrael Litloy Im Krisosoy. There's a goy and a yid going together. The goy has in his hand, he has meat or he has an animal, whatever, and he's about to go and bring it into the base of avodah zara. And the yid quickly thinks and he says, "One second, guy, oh, do me a favor. I can use that. I'm going to pay you for it, whatever." And he takes it from him before it actually enters in. Then you're okay because it was not used for the base for the hakreiv of avodah zara. It was mukhan mezuman, but lamaisa, it was not actually used. Presumably he wasn't maktid, because he's maktid, then we have a problem of muktza. But muktza may only be also by a carbon. Maybe it's mutter for chulin, for hedjit. But anyway, the point is, even though the lashon of Mishnah is basa nichnas, it means a basa that was on the derech to be nichnas, but lamaisa was never nichnas, because he saw litlo, he took it away before it was nichnas, then it's mutter. However, if itaka got in, and now it's coming out, now it's already awesome, because we have to assume that it was used for takreid zivchei zara, which would be awesome. The reason why the Mishnah uses the expression zivchei mesim, and we find this expression often, is because we soon see in the Gemara that the makor that zivchei avodah zara is awesome is from a pasuk dealing with mesim. We'll see Mechem in the Gemara shortly after we finish the Mishnah. A person who is going on a pilgrimage to a tarfus. Tarfus means a far away avodah zara. Also, losses for losses. You're not allowed to go and do business with them on the way to this tarfus, to this pilgrimage, like to Mecca, or I don't know where the Mecca is avodah zara, but whatever they do in those places, they go to these far off places for avodah zara purposes. You're not allowed to go and do business with them. Why can't you do business with them? Says Rashi, we go back to the beginning of our Masechta, the Ozl Umoyd Levoidus Rechavim, because he's going to do business with, in our Mishnah, the beginning of Masechta was a 3-day thing. But that's presumably because the Avoidus Rechavim was local. If he's going on a pilgrimage, which might take him a week or two, then a Yid is going to go and buy something from him, or is going to sell him something. Then by the time he gets to his Avodah Zarah, oh, Avodah Zarah, you have no idea what the Jew has enriched me. I now have this holy cow to go and bring for you for at the Krivis, or he gave me a valuable whatever, or I sold something to him and I made money. So he's going to be moide to the Avodah Zarah. However, once he's coming back, when he's returning, then it's mutar, because the pilgrimage, the party is over, and now you can buy and sell with them like normal. But how does this come into our Mishnah? Because after all, this is upon the first perek, the first Mishnah of Ikimtas Torah. So the Mefarshim, the Tosis explains on Daf Lamed Beis, because it's trying to go and show you the two halachas are, in a sense, parallel, but in reverse. Meaning, the previous halacha was that Basar Nichlal Gechom is mutter, but Yoytze is aser. Here, Hacholchim L'Tarfis is aser, but when they're coming back, it's mutter. So therefore, it wants to show you kind of the contrast between those two cases, and that's why Rabbein HaKodesh brought them both together. Now the question is, what does Tarfus have to do with Avodah Zarah? Now this is not the word treifa, it's a tav, not with a test. So we can divide Tarfus. So there's a fascinating choice, it's a very short choice on Lamed Beis. Amid Beis. What's up there? Oh, what you're saying is Yerushalmi. Yeah, it's a copy of Yerushalmi. If you look at the choice in Lamed Beis and Beis, you'll see it's the first choice in the wide line, about 10 lines into the wide lines. Are you looking at Tarfus? Fisher Rabbi Shmaya. Mokim Tanoifis, Kimoi Beis HaTarfa. Mara, when it refers to the private parts of a woman, it refers to Beis HaTarfa, and therefore this is considered to be quote-unquote Shmutzik, and therefore here too, we talk about the Tarfus, that's a Loshen Bizoyan on the Avodah Zarah, we call it that the Tarfus, just like a Beis HaTarfa. Ubishalmi Pirish Loshin Trofim, that Varoche Lokachesa Trofim, by the Mass of Yankavinu and Rochel. So therefore, Tarfa is related to the word Trofim, which therefore means idols and statues and things of that nature. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, our Mishnah really, and the article, I don't know who he takes it from, but maybe on their own, they say that perhaps the etymology of the word in English is the word moral turpitude. They say it may be also related to this word, tarfus.
Rashi
also says turpitude? Yeah.
No, in Al-Kumish,
yes.
is that they're weak. The idols are weak. The strength is weak.
Okay, good. But the mice is called Trophim, and therefore this is Trophis here too, Archdafis. Good.
It makes the word Treif, and that was a double meaning of this. Treif doesn't mean a Treif, like an animal that was, you know, kosher animal, but Treif, something us or something prohibited, Mias, mm-hmm. Now has another, a second level of prohibition.
If it's Treif Shabalpeh, Treif Shabachzav, this is spelled with a tav, and that's spelled with a tes. Good. No,
what's the call here? So if the meat that went before
it got into the base of Avodah Zarah,
what is this other stuff? The meat that's leaving?
Yeah, any meat that's coming out of the base of Avodah Zarah, and the goy wants to sell it to you, and it says it's hashkocha from the from one of the.
No, it's even betrothed.
Okay, litarpus is usher.
That's the second halacha.
No, this one, what does that mean?
That's talking about a person that's going on a pilgrimage to the Avodah Zarah, yeah. And you want to do business with him. Don't do any business, just like we had that you had the beginning of the Masechta, 3 days before. Here's now 3 days, even a week or 2 weeks before, because his whole being for the next week or two is to go to see this great Avodah Zarah. So if you're going to do any business with him, Sazashi, he's going to be Moide to Avodah Zarah. Or you're going to go and sell him an animal, he's going to use him for Takrevis Avodah Zarah, like we had in the first parak. Noid is oil to come the kankanein. What's the difference between a noid and a kankan? Rashi said a noid is made out of oil, made out of leather. Kankan is made out of cheres. Those types of wine containers or flasks. The yain shi so kod as ben, and there's wine of a Jew in them. Asurim yisun is hano divre meir. Look, this is a double portion because you get the bleois of the wine inside. But notice the Mishnah says, Yanchu so konus behem. Yanchu so behem versus konus. And Rashi says, Hichlis behem yain lekium, that it was there for I don't want to say on a permanent basis, but it was there, not just a temporary in and out, it was there, the kiyum, to go and store that wine. Why is that so important? Because, when we get to Maseches Chulin, we will learn that when it comes to bliyos, we're only concerned about bliyos if, number one, something is hot, something is warm, then the bliyos move from one to the other, not if it's cold. Or, even if it's cold, but if it's been there for at least, amesles, for 24 hours. Oh, after 24 hours, it's soaking and cold, then you can have bliyos coming from one to the other. And therefore, apparently that's why Rashi's saying it, that's why the Rashi is saying that it was lakiyum, and that's why the Mishnah says konos. This wasn't just that he put in the wine temporarily, he was going on a trip, for a business trip for a day, and therefore he wanted the container to go and hold the wine. He poured it into this goyisha wine flask, and he put it at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he drinks at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Perhaps then it would be okay. We're not paskin halacha l'maisa, but in terms of being medayik, the lashon mishnah, the lashon gemara, the blias would not have come out during that short period of time if it's cold, and you would be able to drink it. The only problem is if it's this konos ban and it's cold, then it's there for a while. Just like yayin nesach. Wouldn't be an isra no, it would only be an isra shtia. The reason for the machloek mishnah we'll see in the gemara, about how far we have to be concerned about the bliyos of the wine going and causing trouble for the Jewish kosher wine. Yes, Dr. Wine is not a Dabacharov. Means that to manufacture the wine or the grape juice, you have to go and squeeze out grapes. You can't go and just buy bottles of wine. You have to, somebody's got to manufacture the wine. Okay, so how do you manufacture the wine? You take the chatzan and bazogin, meaning you take the grapes and you crush them on the threshing floor of the wine press. You press them. And then what is left after everything is said and done? You have all the juice and the wine is in one large vat. And you have the remaining chatzan and bazogin, that's the shells or the peels, together with the seeds. What about that residue? Can you use that? Since it was used in the wine manufacturing process, even though you weren't menasech with the chartan zog, but it's part of the residue from the original wine that was used for nisach yayin, aser de remain. If it's still moist, aser. If it's already old and dried out, mutarim, because there's no symbol, no sense of wine at all over here, you can eat it.
When does yayin nesach become aser? So I know that from the time of the
press. Mitch, we're going to have more in our Gemara. We're not there yet. Hamurius. Murius is fish yolch. That's the fish sauce. However, here we're talking about fish sauce that they added to it wine. Because otherwise it wouldn't come into our Mishnah. So they added wine to the fish sauce. Ugvinas beis unaiki shalot gecham. Or gvina that was made in a place called beis unaiki, which belonged to goyim. Asurim visuran isra no dibremei. And as Rashi points out, only in the Beis Unaiki, because in other places, in fact, where they had Gvina, then it was not Osir Bano, it was just Osir Ba'achila. Why is this Gvina different than all other Gvinas? We'll see further in our Mishnah, we'll see Mechim in the Gemara and Daf Lamed Dalet. We'll see why Beis Unaiki was so special. There's only an Isra Achila and an Isra No on the Murius and on the Gvina. Now why talk about the Murius? Why should it only be an Isra Hanoa if in fact this wine may have been used? Why should it only be an Isra Achila according to the Chum if this wine may have been used for Yayin Nesach? It should be Isra Hanoa. So Rashi points out because the wine that was poured in was not to add taste but was to neutralize the bad taste. In other words, when you go and have Murius, it has a somewhat of a fishy to taste to it, so to go and neutralize that taste, you should go pour in the wine to neutralize it. I don't see it in the Rashi, but presumably then we're going to have the Mishnah in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled when we get to it. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so there's no Isra, no, only in Israel. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Shaul Rabbi Yishmol, that's Rabbi Yishuk, Kishoyim Mahalchem Baderach. They were traveling, and he asked them, Om Eloi, Nei Ma Osru Givinois, Oibicham, why is the Givina of a Goy Osir? After all, the milk that's used to make cheese has to come from kosher animals. Non-kosher milk, meaning milk, let's say, from a sus or a chamor or from a pig, does not coagulate and does not form cheese. The only thing that forms cheese is if it comes from kosher animals. That's the nature of the milk. So if that's the case, so the gvina is made from kosher milk, so what's the problem? Because they would go and how to make it coagulate, how do you convert the milk into cheese? By the keva shel nevela. Keva means one of the stomachs of the nevela, but in particular, what we in English it's called rennet. And rennet is a piece, a portion of the keva, these enzymes which are on the keva, one of the stomachs of an animal. So if it happens to be a keva of a kosher animal, in other words, geshachten, then there's no problem. There's no din of basar b'cholav. Rather, all we're talking about the enzymes that come from the keva, they are used to go and make the meat, the milk coagulate and congeal and come into the form of cheese. However, if it's from a nevela, then we got a problem because the person is eating, having hanov from nevela. But then the problem is, amaloi, from the kevis oila chamur mi kevis nevela. The choyra kevis oila, meaning from an oila carbon, that's much more chomer, because after all, explains Rashi, if a person eats from a carbon oila, then you got a problem that he's being moiled the hegdish, and it's not just an issur, you're going to have to go and bring a carbon me'ila, and the asham me'ilois. And over here, it was over an issur, and aveira, vadat alav, eating the vela, but it doesn't come to the chumra of an oila, which is called kol on the mizbeach. And what did they say about the kibbutz oila? Omru koyin shedata yofa. Data yofa is a nice expression to mean a koyin who's not finicky and not so fussy. Sorvachaya, if he likes it, he can go and drink the whatever juices or milk or whatever is in that cave of the oila. In other words, they're ready to go and put that on the mizbeach, and one of the koyhanim is thirsty, and he notices that there's some beautiful keva juice or keva milk or whatever.
Keva milk is in all those of men.
It would not be its own milk. In fact, even females don't have milk inside their own keva. They have it in their udders, but it could be that this animal drunk from milk.
Obviously.
And that's why there's milk inside the stomach. Just like lahabdul human beings, presumably when they drink milk, if you afterwards cut open the stomach, you'd find milk inside. So anyway, so if a kohen should not the officer of Chai, if he wants, he can go and drink it raw, and no problem. So tomorrow, we're not masking, the kohen shouldn't do that. Whenever you see enehen v'lo me'alim, means that it's osim midrabon, it's not osim in atoyah, l'chadchila, don't do it. But if you did it, there's no din of me'ila. Ah, so it's only a drabana. So minatari you're allowed to. So if minatari you're allowed to, so then why can't you go and drink or eat from the gvina, from the keva shel nevela? Amalois, he told him, it's not only its nevela problems, but I have avoyda zora problems. Oh, they went and they were mamid, they coagulated the cheese by using rennet from avoyda zora. No, avoyda zora. Why is it only asur b'achila? You shouldn't be able to even buy or sell the non-kosher cheese and sell it in the marketplace for goyim or etc. Because it's asur b'achila, it comes from avodah zarah. So Timur Yishina Dover Acher, he didn't want to answer, and therefore he changed the subject. Why did he change the subject, etc.? Mitchum will see in another couple of blot, the Gemara will explain in Daf Lamed Daled why he changed the subject. But what did he change the subject to? Amalei Yishmael. Let's go and talk about Shir Hashirim for a moment. Hey Chata Koyre, how do you go and read the second pasuk in Shir Hashirim? Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shloimai. What's the next pasuk after that? So we have the full pasuk on the right hand side. Reb David's Gemuras. Number one, Yishakeinim and Ashikos Pio Ki Toivim Doidecha Miyoyim. So he asked him, how do you read it? Do you read Doidecha, which is a Lashon Zohar, or Ki Toivim Doidayich, which is a Lashon Nikeva? Now, what would be the nafkamina? Well, of course, the nafkamina is whether it's male or female. However, as you know, Shir Hashirim is, quote-unquote, a love song. It has tremendous Kedusha, and we can't even fathom the depth of that Kedusha. But on the surface, it's a love song between a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, and Klal Yisrael. So the question is, who is addressing who? Is a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to Klal Yisrael, Ki Toim Deidecha, Deidecha, it means love, just like a needle, it doesn't mean me to my uncle, my uncle's to me, it means my lover. So here it means the love. So the question is Klal Yisrael saying to a Kodesh Baruch Hu that your love is sweeter and better than the best wine? Or is a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying that to Klal Yisrael? So, if we're addressing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it would be a Lashon Zachar. If we're addressing Klal Yisrael, it would be a Lashon Nekeva. Knesset Yisrael, Kala Kruya Venima. Knesset Yisrael is called the Kala. Kodesh Baruch Hu is like the Chosen. So the question is, Doidecha or Doideich? Amaloi, Kitoivim Doidecha. Amaloi, no, I'm sorry, he said Doideich. Amaloi, Eved Evakim, Sinishtazai, it's Doidecha. Sheikhaveri Malam and Olive, because let's look at the next pasuk. What does the pasuk continue on? L'reach shmonecha toivim, shemen turach shemecha, alkein alomois ahevucha. Now there, all of those lashonis are all lashon zohar. L'reach shmonecha doesn't say shmonayich, shemen turach shemecha doesn't say shmech. Now you're going to go tell me, maybe over there the exact same shayla. Over there maybe taka shouldn't be shmonecha, maybe shouldn't be shmonayich. So Rashi says, it says at the end of the pasuk, alkein alomois ahevucha, therefore the young maidens love you. Where would that be appropriate to say? To go and say to a Zohar that the young ladies love you, meaning they love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore we're addressing to Hashem in Lashon Zohar, to you, the Alom is Ahivucha, and therefore it's Teidecha, not Teidayich. Mention we'll talk about that more in the Gemara. Zokimar.
One question.
Yes.
It's unusual, Lashon Mishnah, very Marech, unusual for Mishnah's dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Explain it.
I don't have a question, I don't know.
They're on the road.
The whole thing, and they also bring psukim about the dechad.
And the word sorev to mean to eat.
Sorev, yeah, right.
That means to eat.
Well, it doesn't really mean to eat. It means to swallow it down quickly, as if you're burning it down.
Because there's the Rashi and Chumash where it says a glay burned his dog. It sounds, but it really meant he ate the dog.
He ate the dog.
Yeah, I think that's okay. He used that.
All right, well, maybe he burned it and he ate it. Okay, Zokimar, Yayin Min Olam. We learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to go and drink Yayin Nesach. What's the problem with Yayin Nesach? Omer Rabba Baravu Omer Krasa. We're going to have now four psukim back to back to prove that Yayin Nesach is awesome. Rabba Baravu Omer Krasa says in the Pasuk, Asher Chedu Zvachemo Yechelu Yishtu Yayin Nesicham. So now we have in the same Pasuk, the Chedu Zvachemo, these are Zvachim Karbonis, or in this case, Takrev Zavoy Dezara. Yayin Nesicham means Yayin that you're Menasach. Ma Zevach Osebano, Af Yayin Ami Osebano. Just like a Zevach Karbin is Osebano, Yayin is also Osebano. How do I know that the zevach, meaning the tekroivus that the goyim bring to their Abayi Zohar, how do you know that that's also manot? Tachsir vayitzam d'leval par, vayoychu zivchei meisim. Ah, so ma meis osu manot, just like zivchei meisim, meis osu manot, that's vayitzam d'leval par, the zevach is nami osu bahanot. How do I know that it messes us by not? Asya, Sham, Sham, Egla, Rufa. Ksivachma Thomas, Sham, Miriam, Batikover, Sham. So it talks about Sham by Misa, by Miriam. Uksivas, the Orphus, Sham is Egla, Banacham. Just like Malalon, Osmano, just like the Egla, Rufa is Osmano. So therefore the mess is also Osmano. Afkanami Osmano. Vosmano, how do I know the Egla, Rufa is Osmano? I mean, the Vidra Biali. Kaporik, Sivak, Kodashim. Just like Kodashim is Machaper. Here too, Kapal, Amchi, Israel, Ashapadisa, etc. And just like Kodshim have an Isra no, same thing is because it's a din of Me'ila, here too is an Isra no. So therefore, we start off with Egla Ruf is also mana. From that we learn that Mis is also mana. Therefore we know Zivchei Mesim is also mana. Therefore we know that Yayin Nesach is also mana. So it's a chain reaction. And that's why the Mishnah referred to it as Zivchei Mesim, because we learn it from that pasuk.
So the penalty for
Me'ila
is a
Korban Me'ila
and a Chomish and everything.
Right.
But yet so just like the derivative should not be worse, you know, why isn't the penalty for Yayin Nesach? Okay,
we only learn the Isra No now. We're not learning
all the
So it says, and not only don't go and buy wine from them, also don't buy vinegar from them if it was originally wine in their hands. Just because the Yain has become sour. Vinegar, it's become sour. Pakli sur, the Isra should go away. Of course it retains the Isra that it had before. Amar Vashi, Hosel Hashem, to come to tell you, Chomit Shalonu, B'yad Oivik Echovim, Ein Tzorech Choysim, Metoy Choysim. What happens if a Goy owns some Jewish vinegar? In other words, a Jew manufactured vinegar, and he sold it to a Goy, and this vinegar has on it a Choysim, Choysim meaning one seal, not a choysim betoy choysim. It doesn't need a choysim betoy choysim. Even though for other things you need a choysim betoy choysim, this doesn't require Why not? What am I worried about? That maybe the guy is going to take some of that chaymitz and use it for nisach leminasli. We don't use, nobody uses vinegar for purposes of nisach. You use yayin and not chaymitz. You're afraid that maybe the guy is going to go and exchange your vinegar for somebody else's vinegar, for his vinegar. Once it has one seal is enough, you don't have to have a double seal. Amr Bilal, Shanina, the same Gemara again. Yain Mavushal Shabbi Chum, Shemit Chalasi. Yain is awesome. If you had yain that belonged to a guy that was subsequently cooked, it remains awesome because it was yain before it became Mavushal. Pedro Pshita, Kim the Ibshu Pakali Surah, just because you cooked it, then the Isser goes away? Same question before. Amr Vashi Asal Ashmin. Yain Mavushal Shalon of Yarav Yichavim. If we sold a bottle of yain Mavushal to a guy, Ainzer Chayz Mutar Chayz, you don't have to have the double Chayz. Why? They're not menasach yayin mevushal. That's not kosher for purposes of libations. The imishem echlufe. Are you afraid that maybe he's going to go and switch your yayin mevushal for his yayin? Kim the ikach chayisem echad. We talk him zayv. Sloitzer mishteganze ticha to open it up and to go and put it back together again. It's a whole big thing. Therefore, you don't have to be.